We are Yudbeis Yoshes Chayshech Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melechom Shakoli Yedivarayim. Yoshes Chayshech Sisrei Sivirsav Sukasai. Okay, Yosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshes He sets. Yoshes He sets Chayshech Sisrei. Hashem makes darkness His concealment. Okay, this is a good pasuk for Purim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yanochi Haster Aster Pon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals, He hides Himself. Hashem makes the source of His concealment, His hiding is darkness. Yoshes means to set. Hashem sets darkness as His hiding place. This whole world is just one big game of hide and seek. It's Hashem. Hashem is always hiding, and we're trying to discover Him. So where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu hide? Where is His hiding place? Darkness. In the Megillah, the Megillah was the revelations where we found Hashem. We found Hashem, so that's why it's called Yehudim Haitza Oira.
He's hiding in light, not darkness.
No, light is revelation. He's not hiding in light, he's hiding in darkness. That's the whole point.
The revelation is for us to see it.
When Hashem comes out of hiding, there's Oira. Yehudim Haitza Oira. You don't like that shot? Hashem is hiding in light?
Yes, I like that.
He's not hiding in light.
Not hiding, but that's where He is.
He is revealed. That's not hiding.
I don't want to say Hashem is in darkness.
That's revelation.
It makes me feel very bad. No, I don't know if I can go on the rest of the day now.
He appears in light.
Hashem appears.
You can appear and you can hide in light. It's not such a...
You're saying things that are too deep for me to understand.
It's a great camouflage.
You're saying something too deep. Hashem reveals Himself in light, but He hides in darkness. He's saying it's too bright, you can't see it.
Let it go down the official book of records.
Oh, your protest. Let it go on the record that
what do you crave?
Then Mark is Mega Macha. Mark believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He hides in light. And Mr. Marilla supports him by saying that when it's too bright, you can't see. So if you can't look at the sun, that means that in Echanami, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's hiding. Because if you're not able to see Him, that is a different, a deeper form of hiding. All right, fine, whatever it is, but on a very simple level, people like me, who don't have such depth like Mark, In this world is one big game of hide and seek, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He hides. Where does Hashem hide Himself? He hides in darkness. Yoshes, Hashem has set Choshech, darkness, Sisrei as His location, His place of concealment. Sevivoy Sav, Sukosoy. Then we have a new concept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Around Hashem is His abode. Hashem has a shelter. Hashem, you think only we have a sukkah. Hashem has a sukkah. Hashem goes into the sukkah. Okay, Sevivoy Sav Sukasai. Hashem's surrounding is his abode. We'll have to discuss that in one moment. Cheshkas Mayim Oveh Shchokim. Cheshkas means dark water, thick clouds. Okay, there's Cheshkas means darkness. Choshech, the Choshech of Me'asoyim.
Something is wrong with the sound. It's on and off.
The sound is on and off.
You're
not
fasting,
right? The sound is what? I'm not fasting, no. The sound is on of it. We have another problem. Let me see. How is it any better now? Of Kalman, is the sound any better? Okay, good. Okay, but it's very late. Let's go. So Hashem over here, Cheshkas Mayim, Ove Yishchakim, the dark waters, thick clouds. Okay, this is a new concept. Normally, we don't have this concept called dark waters. We have dark clouds. We have darkness in the sky. This concept of dark waters, since when did you ever hear of dark waters? We have to see. Ave shachim, thick clouds. Ave means clouds, cloud. Ave means clouds. Shachim means darkness. Okay, we'll have to see. Let's read all the psukim together and we'll come back and we'll go one at a time again. Minoiga negdoi, due to the brilliance. Minoiga means brilliance. A brilliant light, negdoi, opposite him. Of clouds disappear. Borod, the gachale esh, and then comes hail and coals. Let's just read the words, we'll come back. Vayar, vayar, eim, vashamayim. Are you able to hear me? Rav Kalman, yeah, the sound is okay?
He's frozen.
I think he's frozen. Alan, are you there by any chance? Oh, I'm frozen. No, I'm frozen.
You're
But I think just knock that. I'll just knock out.
Let the light be with you, you will fall.
What?
Let the light be with you, you will fall.
What did you take this?
Recording in progress.
Okay, we're back on again. Rav Kalman, can you hear me now? Rav Kalman, can you hear me?
Yeah, now
okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Okay, let's see what happens. Vayarein ninoiga, he will say Pasuk Gidal on page 146, Pasuk Gidal, Vayarein Bashmaim Hashem V'el Yitin Koloi. What does it mean Vayarein? In the Mitsudois David, it means a thunder. Vayarein Nosan Bashmaim Kol Ra'am. Ra'am means Loredes Misham Borod. What is Ra'am means a loud noise. If I'm not mistaken, it means a loud noise. If you look over here in the so what is the only okay, loud noise in the heavens? Hashem shouted. Hashem in the heavens shouted. The Elyon Yitin Koloi. The Elyon is another word for Hashem. He gives forth his voice. Borod v'gachaleish. Notice the repetition. In Pasuk Gimel it mentions Borod hail v'gachaleish, and here Pasuk Gidal again it mentions Borod v'gachaleish. Let's one more pasuk. We'll do them together again. Vayishlach Yitzav. Hashem sends forth his arrows. Vayifitzem. And the arrow shatters. The word vayifitzem means a piece of glass, and you shatter glass. Vayifitzem, Hashem shatters the enemy. Uvirakim rav, Hashem sends down bolts of lightning, barak, lightning. Vayihumem, and Hashem confuses. He brings about a behold of confusion among the enemies of the Jewish people. Now let's over here. Let's now go through this again, just with the mitzudas. David, on page 147, Yoshes Choshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sets darkness. Yeah, we have to be very careful because these psukim, being that they're so, these psukim, being that they're very terse and they're not clear, it is subject to interpretation. And every one of the commentators has their own mahalech, their own understanding as to who is the subject of each word of these psukim. According to the Mitzvah Stavit, he's going to Lashit HaSoy, exactly what was the theme of what we learned yesterday. The subject of the psukim over here in these psukim is our enemies. Hashem is now coming to destroy the enemies of the Jewish people, or the enemies of David. Really more the Jewish people, because this is Tehillim referring to Klal Yisrael, but it mentions David as well. And it says here, Yoshes Choshech Lahachshich Lecho Oyev. Hashem is setting, he's bringing about, he's putting into place, in this world darkness for the wicked. The wicked are going to suffer darkness. This sounds very similar to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The last Makkah before Makas Bechoris was the Makkah of Choshech, darkness. The people were not able to move. The darkness was thick. Some will tell you more as a homiletic interpretation, they suffered from deep depression. Okay, there are many Ayin Panim L'Torah. When the last Makkah before Klal Yisrael, Makas Bechoros, the people in Egypt, our enemies, they were depressed. The depression sunk in to such a degree, people could not even move. They could not move. It's as if in their minds the air was thick, and they just were paralyzed in their minds due to a deep state of depression, realizing they're living a life that's a lie. They're living a terrible, terrible things. So I mean that's a homiletic interpretation. They teach you in elementary school that there was darkness, thick darkness, black, and it's so dark outside. There's mamoshos, there's matter. You can't even move. Obviously, I mean that's the shudishol mikra, but on a deeper level, it means that they suffered from depression. So here it's like the Baruch Hu is sending down to this world darkness. He's sending down, according to the Mitzvah of Yoshes Choshech, Lahachshich L'Hoyev, to the enemy. Now, over here, the Mitzvah of David does not tell us what the word Sisrai means. Now, the truth is, there is a psik. See, the way I translated the word is originally not necessarily the best way, because I did not separate the word Choshech from the word Sisrai. The Mitzvah stuff, it says you can't ignore the psik. In the pasuk, on page 136, pasuk days, you see there's a vertical line. That vertical line is separating the word choshech from the word sisro, which indicates that do not read the word choshech together with the word sisro. You read yoshes choshech. Hashem is bringing darkness upon his enemies, which are our enemies. Next, Sisroi Sevivoisav Sukosai. Now, what does that mean? So look at the Mitzudos. Sevivoisav. Sevivoisav. I'm sorry?
Triple Samach.
Triple Samach. Three Samachs. Okay. Three Samachs. Sisrei Sivosav Sukosav. Very good. I didn't know that. What does it mean? Look at the Mitzudos. Hachoyshech Sam Saviv Sukosai Lios Muchon Lefonav. It's a very strange translation. Hashem is basically taking his sword, Gzuntai, taking his sword out of its sheath. He's arming his nukes. The tool in this pasuk to destroy the enemies, or to the what they're going to use, is darkness. In every battle, there's a weapon of choice. Okay, in the Cold War, the weapon of choice were nuclear missiles, nuclear bombs. Today, the weapon of choice is cyber attack. Okay, Rahman Lutzlan, we don't even want to talk about it, they're bioweapons. In the ancient times, they used sorcery, magic, black magic was the weapon of choice. Okay, conventionally they used bombs. They used, going back, then when they invented gunpowder, how did they fight? They fought with weapons, with basically pistols. And then going rifle pistols, these primitive pistols, when they discovered gunpowder. Going back, other times they were bows and arrows, or they were swords. Every battle has a weapon of choice. A new type of weapon. In our lifetimes, we've become aware of these ultra high-tech laser-guided weapons that are launched from drones. These types of weapons, bioweapons and cyber attacks, a weapon of choice. In this pasuk, the pasuk is teaching us the weapon of choice here in this battle is darkness. That's the weapon of choice. Darkness. You bring upon your enemy darkness. How do you want to translate the word darkness? Does it mean physical darkness? Or does it mean confusion? Does it mean depression? All of the above. Darkness. However you want to translate, however you want to understand the depth of darkness, that here is the weapon of choice. So we all know that a weapon is very dangerous. And you keep it locked away. You keep it locked away in a safe place. You don't go and leave it lying around on the street. You don't go leave the nuclear bombs lying on the street. You put them away in a safe place. So Hashem doesn't keep darkness in the open. The weapon is a dangerous weapon. But now that he is planning to attack the enemy with this weapon of darkness, he unsheaths his sword. He takes it out and he has it ready. It's armed. It's prepared to go. Sisroi sevivoisav sukosoi. Rashi hachoyshech, the darkness. Some of that was the subject of the previous expression, the darkness that we mentioned before. Some he sets, he puts in place. Saviv sukosai, or near or surrounding his abode. And here are the key words. And this is the interpretation why you need a commentator to tell you how to learn a pasuk. Otherwise, it's a mystery. Lihiyois muchon lefanav. What these three words mean is Hashem is now serious. This is not a threat. This is going to be a reality. It's going to happen. He's going to unleash this weapon of darkness against his enemies, and therefore he gets it ready. How does he get it ready? He surrounds his sukkah, his abode. Sisrus. What is the word sisrus? It's hard to. I don't really get clear how he gets the word. He gets where the word sisro comes into play here.
Maybe when he stops, he's in his stuff, and you don't see the Akadosh Baruch Hu, because when he stops in the Toch Sukkato, around him there is a Sukkah.
That we
sukkah,
know.
Maybe the Choshech is the Sukkah, the darkness.
So I know, but let's you're saying a very good idea, but let's try to figure out how the Mitzudas Dov is learning the Pshat. Obviously, there are many different ideas, there are different ways to understand it. But let's just try to get more of an appreciation of the Mitzudas Dov. Because the Mitzudas Dov adds three words. He adds three words, which is not something that is obvious in the Pasuk. And the three words he says is Liyois Muchan Lefanav. There's a weapon. The weapon is darkness. The first two words are Yoshes Choshech. Hashem He sets, he puts into position darkness. Mitzudas David. This is only again, this his interpretation. Obviously, there are many interpretations. Common, you're drawing from. I think you're drawing from other interpretations. But according to the religious,
I don't understand what the mitzvah.
Right. So let's try to understand. Let's try, and then after we then through understanding okay. What he's saying, then we'll be able to see what he's not saying and have other interpretations. But what is he trying to say? He's saying over here an idea that Hashem over here is taking out a weapon. What is the weapon? The weapon is darkness. That's what lahachshich lohoyev. He adds the word oyev. If not for the mitzvah stavid, you would not necessarily say that. And in fact, yesterday we learned Rashi does not say go without approach. Rashi learns that everything over here is referring to Klal Yisrael. These are descriptions. He learns it in a different way. But let's just focus now on the mitzvahs. According to the mitzvahs, the focus here is the obliteration of the enemy. What is the tool? Darkness. Hashem, now he puts into position a weapon called darkness against Hashem's enemies. Okay. Hashem's enemies are our enemies.
Right.
Okay, now let's skip one word for a moment. Then there's the word Sevivaisav Sukasai. Hashem's abode. Hashem is Hashem. Okay, that's impossible to understand what that means. But Hashem, Kaviyachol, is written that we can understand. He lives, he exists. He exists in a setting, in an environment, in Shemayim. In where he is located, where he is, whatever that means. That's called his sukkah. Hashem is found in his abode. In his abode, it is now, at this moment, it is surrounded with this weapon called choshech. Sevivoisav sukkosoi. His sukkosoi, which means his location, is surrounded with darkness. Ordinarily, there is no darkness. Ordinarily, Hashem is light. But in this instance, there is darkness because this is the weapon of choice that Hashem is about to launch, to deploy against his enemies. So my question to you, which I do not understand, is where does the word Sisroi come into play in this pasuk?
He has it concealed. Secret it's weapon. Concealed.
Sisroi, Sivivar Sav Sukasai.
He has his weapon
okay.
For his enemies. Which is around his sukkah, ready, rios mucha lefonav, to be ready in front of him.
But it's hidden.
It's
okay,
right,
very good. So Dr. Dov is saying that the word Sisrei is that it's not in the open. The weapon is ready to go. It is at near.
It's not been deployed. What does Sisrei mean?
Hiddenness. Hidden. Sisrei means seiser. Yoshei v'seiser kelyon.
It destroys. And it's like a black hole that anything gets close to it is already destroyed.
A black hole? Look at this, we have some scientists here.
Anything around it is already
BLM.
You're saying very good. Itaka, a black hole is a very is the most powerful weapon. It is.
Is black hole is around it?
No, it's knocking out the power grid.
Cyber attack. You're gonna take it down, we're gonna go offline. Okay, all right, but okay. So you say hafeichba du kulaba. All right, but so right now let's go with Rav Dov and let's assume it means over here that sukkosoi is another term for Hashem, Hashem's abode. Hashem's abode is surrounded by darkness. Darkness is a weapon of mass destruction, and it's not even obvious. It is hidden. It is the darkness is not something that is apparent, that it is about to be deployed.
It's a stealth weapon.
It's a stealth. It's in Seser.
You know why it's Seser? If you think about it, for what we say, darkness is the absence of light. So that darkness is hidden in the light in its absence.
Okay, that's very profound. I hear what you're saying. What exactly is right, light and dark? This is the big debate. This is the big dilemma. And you have rayos back and forth all over the Torah. Is darkness the absence of light, or is darkness matter? It's not. Hashem created darkness. Yotzer or. Yotzer means to form. Uvor means to create. So darkness would appear, from that words, it would appear to be it's matter. There is substance. It's a creation. It's not just the absence. And then you could have many other proofs that's just the opposite. There's no such thing as darkness. It doesn't exist. Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. The whole world is light. And Hashem, He created a way to deny the light from appearing, which just means absence is the app. It's not a creation. All right, so anyway, we're going to go with that approach. And we'll go, or maybe we'll just say that the word Sisra, maybe just very simply, what you really wanted to say, Dov, another idea you say is, Sisra is another word for darkness. When someone is in hiding, when you're in hiding, that means you don't exist. You don't, not existing is a form of darkness. And this pasuk, or this expression, just repeating the same idea, that it's ready to go. The darkness...
Why does it say you don't exist if you're hiding?
That's a model.
You make yourself as if you don't exist.
Is something that was bara chayshah, okay. And it was hidden. So it's the absence of.
Okay. Right, okay. These are ideas. We don't need to get into the technical, the depth of the technicalities of darkness. Right now, it's a very hard pasuk. Right now, let's try to decipher according to the Mesillas David. Let's assume that the word seser is another word for darkness. And this poetic repetition, and according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, it's telling us that there is a weapon. This is a profound idea. We don't have this often, this concept. There is a weapon of mass destruction in this world called darkness. And that can be interpreted however you like. But there's something, a weapon called darkness. Whether you want to say darkness means depression, whether you want to say turn off the lights, shut down the power grid, whether you want to go say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the cold shoulder, he's not acknowledging that you exist, he's hiding, like Klal Yisrael, the Anochi Haster Aster Panav. Where was Hashem in the Holocaust, right? This is the question, everyone. Where was Hashem? When Hashem is hiding, that's painful. It's painful when Hashem is hiding. So there is a weapon in this world that Hashem created called darkness. And there are two expressions here, at least so far, that Hashem is getting ready to deploy this weapon against his enemies. And so far, the pasuk expressed this idea in two different ways. Yoshes Choshech. He puts into place, into position, the weapon. And then the pasuk repeats itself. Sisro, this weapon called darkness, Sivivoisav Sukasai, has been deployed, has been taken out of its sheath, has been put into position. It is surrounding Hashem. Hashem is surrounded by an entourage of soldiers that have weapons of darkness that he's about to deploy against his enemy. Now the next expression, Cheshkas Mayim Ovei Shechokim, to back to the Mitzvot.
By the way, we can rearrange those three words. We can say Yashet Choshech Svivotav,
okay, that's a different interpretation. Okay. You're right, but that's a different interpretation. Right now, I want to just first focus. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, Yosh, the Mitzvah started. Yosh es choshech lahachshich lichoyev. Period. Then there's a new expression. Seviv oisav hachoshech som. Saviv sukaso liyoyz muchan lifanov. The Mitzvah started appears to be going in order. You're right, there are many interpretations. There's no doubt about it. You've got a whole page. Plus, there's infinitely more. But right now, let's just focus one thing at a time.
Okay.
So we have over here, so far, two different expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu describing that he's about to deploy this very painful weapon called darkness. Okay. Now, then comes the next expression of the pasuk. It's a very difficult psukim. Cheshkas, another word for darkness. Cheshkas, HaChoshech, HaZeh, Bo, Me cheshkas ribui hamayim hanivloim beheovim. This darkness, where does it come from? There are many types of darkness. This darkness, this weapon, this dark matter comes from water. It comes from water, from the darkness of the abundance of water, hanivloim that are absorbed beheovim, the clouds, hapirusim tachas hashechokim, spread under the sky. The word shechokim means clouds, the sky. This is the nature of the darkness. It's a darkness that is derived when there is an abundance of water stored in the cloud.
Right.
It's a description of the weapon.
You have dark clouds.
Dark clouds. But obviously there's a lot of metaphors going on over here.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, we've now concluded this pasuk, lefi only the Mitzudos David. There is a, a very dangerous weapon. And the metaphor for the weapon is, it's called darkness. And what kind of darkness? There are many types of darkness. You go on Amazon, type in darkness. There are many products called darkness. Darkness over here is the weapon of darkness is similar to the darkness that is found in a thick cloud that is spread under the heaven, that is full of water. This darkness is now been removed from its sheath, and it is surrounding Hashem, like a battalion surrounding a general, and it's about to be deployed against the enemy. This is the perush of the pasuk l'fi, the best that we can understand in the Mitzudos David. Now, we go to the next pasuk. Remember, you have to be consistent.
If you look up the perushim maral,
okay, that's already machshava.
We had that weapon already. We saw it.
Oh, I said that. That's what we said. I said there is something called darkness, makas choshech. So Hashem is taking. He's taking from that makas. Nothing. Ain chodosh tachas Hashemesh. Everything that happened in this world already happened before. All the makas, one after another. Okay, let's now go. Let's go to the next section, next pasuk in the mitzvah of it. Mi noigah negdoi machmas. Now, David, according to the Mitzudos, there's a little bit of a shift now. Why is Hashem deploying his weapons against our enemies? Because Hashem wants to show his light to me. Again, one more time. All of this is being done, all of this activity, these preparations to deploy weapons are being done. Why? Because of the light. Shelifonav, Hashem really is Moli Or. Ashu Reitzel Lehoir, Hashem wants to illuminate Ulohishiali, he wants to shine upon me. Ovov Ovaru, Hoyu Heavim Mavidim Lehashlich Esoyev, the clouds are going to pass, the darkness are going to pass to cast down the enemy. Bodod the Gachalayesh. Let's go back to the pasuk. This is minoga negdoi. It's only because Hashem wants to shine his light upon me, avov, his clouds, which again is a metaphor for the darkness, avru, are going, and this is where the Mitzudas Dov is really saying something which is not literal. He's saying he's twisting the pasuk. Avru means he's going to launch, he's going to deploy. Ordinarily, when you look at this pasuk in isolation, you would say, the clouds go away, and now the sun shines. It's a cloudy day. The clouds are blocking the beautiful rays of the sun. Ah, now the clouds disperse, and there's light. So you would think, if you look at this pasuk in a very simple sense, you would say, there's beautiful light coming out from the sun, but the clouds are blocking it. So now the clouds disperse. And now the sun shines upon me. That's not what he says, the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas says, Hashem wants to shine upon me. The problem is, my enemies are getting in the way. So what does Hashem do? Hashem attacks, destroys my enemies. How does he destroy my enemies? He deploys, he launches his weapon against them. What is the weapon that he deploys? Darkness. Because Hashem is minoga negdo, there is a beautiful radiance that is with Hashem, that Hashem wants so much to shine and to spread upon me. So, but there's a problem. I can't enjoy Hashem's aura because of my enemies. They're getting in the way. So avav, which is basically a description of the entire pasuk yud beis, his weapons, avaru, he deploys. He presses the nukes. He presses the red button.
See, I think he's using makas kosher as the model. Makas kosher is simultaneously dark for the enemy, light for Bnei Yisrael. So here, again, it's simultaneous.
That's what I would say. It's exactly what I just said. I would agree with you 100%. It's exactly what I tried to say in the beginning. But the problem is, that's not what he says. You're right. If there are many perushim in this pasuk. Let's just first try to decipher what the Mitzudas David says. I agree with you. It's exactly what I said. I agree with you 100%. If you look at pasuk Gimel by itself, you would say, Yisrael, the Egyptians suffered darkness, and the darkness for the Egyptians was light for the Jews. Exactly. There is minoiga negdo, ovov ovaru. Well, here, I mean, the clouds. Let's not even try to make other perushim for the moment. Let's just look at what it says in the Mitzvah stuff for the moment. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, just read the words. Minoga negdo, machmas, he'oro, the light, shelufanov. And what about that light? Here comes the Mitzvah to embellish the Pasuk. These are his words that you would never add on your own. Asher, hu roitzel lichoir ulohishiali. There is a brilliance of light before Hashem. And so what? So what? The Mitzvah David says, Hashem wants very much to take that light that is before him and give it to us. Give it to David. How does the Mitzvah David know that? Where did he get that from? Who says? Who says? Hashem is or? No, the or is for the tzaddikim in the other world. No, no. David says, before Hashem there is or. And Hashem wants to give it to me. He wants very much. Really? How do you know that? Well, that's what he says. We'll accept this as a fact. He knows. He wants to give it to me. The problem is, there is someone getting in the way. There are evildoers out there that are getting in the way. Who are the evildoers? The evil people. So Hashem has to eliminate them so that he can proceed with his plan to bestow this beautiful radiance upon David. So how does he do that? So the Mitzvah continues. Ovov, his clouds. What does that mean, clouds? What does that mean? So he says, it means... It appears to me what he's saying is that the weapon of darkness that he described in the previous pasuk, avru, passes. What does that mean? Hoyu he'ovim ma'avirim. The clouds passed. They moved. They went into motion. They were launched. Lehashlich, to be cast al ho'oyev. Together with Barod the Gacha Le'esh. In other words, Pasuk Yud Beis describes arm the weapons, load the gun, put the ammunition into your rifle, get the nukes ready to go, get them all warmed up, open up all of these contraptions and have all the people sitting there by the controls. And when I give the order, press the button. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, press the button. Here's the code. Press the button. The word Ovaru means launch. It shoots out.
What does he say? Ovim ma'avirim.
Hoyu, we. The Ovim passed. They were, means to move.
Right, so these clouds,
were deployed.
Where is it deployed? It seems
move. Because read the next two words. The next words are to cast. There's a target.
To send on his
enemies.
What?
The Barod, the Gachalesh.
He doesn't say that he's sending on them the Choshech.
The darkness.
He's sending on them the Barod, the Gachalesh. And the next pasuk, he says it again. That he's going to do that, sending down the Barod, the Gachalesh.
I hear. This is very difficult. He's not fully explaining himself to the stuff. You're right. You're not. But the gist of what he seems to be saying is the word "overu" means launch. Launch. Send it. Send it off. In Pasuk Yud Beis, it's preparation. Get ready. Put your enemy in the crosshairs. Arm your weapons. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, "Avav, Avav is the weapon. Is the weapon." What? We're not finished. No, I don't think we're finished. Avav. So it seems. It would seem from the Mitzudos is that the Borod and the Gachalayesh is part of the Choshech. It's part of the Choshech. Because in clouds, what do you have? What do clouds bring? Destruction. They bring lightning. Okay, lightning and lightning this fire. I mean, lightning is the ultimate fire. I mean, there's fire. The person electrocuted with lightning. Gachalayesh. And it would appear he doesn't fully explain himself, but it would appear that the word avav is going back and is referring to Pasuk Yud Beis, where he said the word choshech and sisro. We add in Pasuk Yudbeis two different words to describe darkness. There's darkness called Choshech, and then he repeated himself with the word Sisro. These weapons are being put into position, and now we have another word to describe darkness, which is called Ovav. And then when it says with Avru, launch, press the button, launch the weapon. Let's go further. And in when it comes darkness, when the darkness comes, it comes with Chorban. It brings fire and coals of fire. Pasuk Yudal in the midst of the Stavit, Yivayareim, Nosan Bashamayim Kol Ra'am. Thunder. The word Vayar means to shout. Ra'im is thunder. Thunder. With lightning comes thunder. Ram. Lightning comes. The first is going to be lightning. The sound, the speed of sound is slower, much slower than the speed of light. That's the fastest thing that we know in this world today. There's nothing that we know in the physical world today, according to the laws of science that we are aware of today, is the speed of light. That's the ultimate thing. That's why. Vayareim, then comes then this the speed of sound. Sound travels much slower. That's why there's an 8-second delay between. How long does it take? How long is the gavel or the 10?
Depends. 1,000 feet per second.
1,000 feet per second.
It's
that slow? That's pretty slow.
Each second, it's like 1,000 feet per second.
Okay, that's why you know. The echo. This is the big. This is. Okay, let's go further. Vayareim.
Because you see, the light you see almost instantaneously, 186,000 miles an hour, or whatever.
But sound takes time. That's why in these big arenas, in these big places, there's always a very big problem that it shouldn't be an echo. Because when you have a massive stadium and you have speakers all over the place, and depending where you're sitting, you know, if the sound is not coordinated perfectly, there's an echo. And it's very, very, it can destroy your ability to clearly hear what's being said. Okay, let's go for that. Yeah, because sound travels very slow. Vayareim nosan v'shamayim kol ra'im loredes misham. Hashem, he shouted, he sent down a thunder. Loredes misham borod. Now again, over here, he's repeating the same exact thing. Vayareim v'shamayim, Hashem shouted. Hashem vayareim v'shamayim kam. It is a psik. Vayareim v'shamayim. Hashem dispatched sound. A new weapon, it seems. Sound. Hashem, the Elyon Yitein Koiloi. Okay, let's ignore the psik for a moment. Vayarein ba'ashamayim Hashem, kama. Let's ignore the psik. Hashem sent down sound, and then the Elyon. Elyon is referring to Hashem again. The subject of the uppermost high is Hashem. Yitein Koiloi gives forth his voice. This poetic repetition. And it is accompanied by Borod v'Gachalayesh, with Borod and Gachalayesh. So therefore, the Borod and the Gachalayesh comes together with darkness, and it comes together with sound. Two different types of weapons. Look at the Mitzvah Stavit. Vayarem nosim Hashem kol re'em, loredes misham, the descent from there, Borod v'Gachalayesh. What is the result? Pasuk Tetzvav tells us the result. The result is, he sends forth his arrows. Seemingly the arrows are going back on all of the weapons mentioned above, and the arrows meet their target, they reach their target, and their target is blown to smithereens. It's shattered into teeny little pieces. And Uvorakim Rav again mentions there is Barak, there is lightning, and they are confused. Mitsudois. He disperses the enemies. He shoots lightning, the homam osaman confuses them. Now, if you want to know why people have a hard time learning Nach, this is it. Okay? Wow. These pesukim, the Mitzudas David, you know, he tries very hard. And usually, you know, you learn Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Melachim. Usually, you walk away very satisfied. I don't know about you. This is very, very, obviously there's a lot more going on here. And we're not going to go through the Mepharshim over here. It's way over there. And all of them are struggling. Who knows what they're doing to try to figure this out, what this means exactly. But the Mitzvah Zav, and he tried to give us a nice shot. Listen, he did the best he can. The best that we can, and our limited understanding, at least I can understand what he's trying to say. The gist of what he's basically saying, even though it's really, really hard to get every single word here really with precision, is Hashem has at his disposal many types of weapons. We learn over here a weapon called darkness, a weapon called a lightning, a weapon of sound. This is a very terrible thing today. Today, the army, they have these where they want to disperse. You see this every so often. Already for years, you've seen this. When there are protests, violent protests, and the police want to disperse protesters, they have these sound weapons. It's a terrible thing. They have these very, very loud, makes very loud noise, and it's so disturbing, people just go away. They can't take the sound. Instead of shoot them with rubber bullets, shoot people with rubber bullets and tear gas, which doesn't work too well. It's a lot of political fallout from that. They get these terrible loud sounds.
In war, they shoot rockets. It is very old.
In ancient war, they would go with drums. When they went into the battlefield, they would scare the enemy with noise. They would scare them. One of the techniques was to bang your shields. You watch them. These documents. Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Naiman. Shalom Aleichem. Nice to see you. Welcome to Brooklyn, New York.
That was the weapon of the Vitka.
Of the what?
The Vitka.
What is that?
The War of 1948. Go into the Vitka Square. You'll see. Noise like tanks and shooting and everything.
It scared the enemy with noise. If you look at these old documentaries, how they fought in ancient times, one of the things that we don't have today is called shields. Interlocking shields. It's very, very fascinating. They went to the battlefield, they had these bronze. These shields that weigh a ton. It's not even known today how the soldiers were able to hold these shields. Very, very heavy chunks of metal. And what they would do is they would line up, and they were made in such a way where they interlocked one with another. And they would mark bulldozers, human bulldozers. They would march and carrying these very, very heavy shields, interlock one with the other. And they would trample upon their enemy. And when the enemy would try to shoot arrows, it wouldn't make a difference because they have these massive shields. And what they would do in addition to marching with these interlocking shields, they would bang them one against the other. They would bang them. And when they would bang them, it would make this sound that was deafening. And that was part of the technique to terrify the enemy. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has this weapon called sound. Vayadem b'shamayim, he shouted at them from heaven. Hashem, the Elyon Yitain Koiloi. And then it mentions there's another weapon, Borot, lightning. And then there's Gachalayesh, coals of fire. What? Borot is hail. And it's Gachalayesh, coals of fire. And then it says, Vayishlach Yitzav, there are arrows. Arrows, what kind of arrows? Doesn't say. Vayif Yitzav, he shatters them. Uvarakim, lightning, Rav, an enormous amount of lightning, Vayu, Humain, and they're confused. And if you go back before, it says the part that's really difficult is Ninoigah Negdo, the brilliance that's before him. Avav, clouds, Avaru, clouds pass. Again, Borod, beginning of the Pasuk Yibayz, talks about Choshech, Sisrei. The truth is, if you want to go look at modern warfare today, a lot of these things we see these little clips of where they launch these weapons of mass destruction, and upon impact, you see this brilliance, this light, intense light, and then when the light goes away, these mushroom clouds of darkness, and this noise, and this all different types of these words. If you go and look at a scene of battlefield from the 21st century, like you see Rahman al-Islam going on in the Ukraine, some of these clips, and you want to go describe modern warfare with these words, it's not so hard. It's not so hard to have an appreciation of what these words mean, and being a little creative and looking at some of these horrible clips. of power, what goes on. In ancient times, did they have these type of weapons? I guess when David wrote this, it meant something else. You know, it all depends on what you're looking at. But modern times, when you go and you take one of these clips, you can fit every single one of these words into Rahman Mislan, one of these type of scenes today. In any event, according to the parish, the basic, just according to the parish of Mrs. David, the Kalash Baruch here is coming to launch these weapons against who? Who is the subject? Who is getting this? Our enemies. They are being obliterated. And the Mitzvah David, he said one thing over here which is very important. This is probably unique to him. Minoga negdo. All of this, you know, the centerpiece of the entire page, page 146, is two words. Two words. All of this is being done for one purpose. The Klal Yisrael. All of this is being deployed. This whole scene of shock and awe of what's happening to our enemies is all for the purpose of Hashem revealing Himself to Klal Yisrael. The brilliance, the awe of the Shekhinah, the awe that was gonus from the time of Sheishes Mei Bereishis, the awe of the Shekhinah, Hashem wants to bestow this radiance upon Klal Yisrael. Our enemies are getting in the way. They are distracting us. They're contaminating us. They are harming us. So Hashem is going to get rid of them. Going to get rid of them with shock and awe, so that the two words in Pasuk and Gimel can come to fruition. Minogah Negah. That's the gist of everything we've learned today so far. Everything here is on one side, and these two words are on the other side. The purpose is Nega Negdo. Hashem is going to make this production for us. Let's see now what is going to be in the Rashi. Rashi, possibly.
By the way, we say it in the morning. Eishu Varad, Shelek Vekito, Ruach Sarav, Sadvaro.
Also the Varo.
It's the same kind of same thing.
Right.
Same idea.
Every
his wings, Shelek, Kif Mashlech Tachok, Kifitim,
Hashem harnesses
with a lot of weapons.
Hashem harnesses all of science for our benefit in order to wipe out the enemy. Let's look now at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Gimel, page 146. Cheshkas Mayim Rashi has his own interpretation. The darkness of waters. He skips the beginning of the pasuk and just goes to Cheshkas Mayim Shebe Ovei Shechakim. The dark waters that are within the clouds of heaven. Heim HaChoshech Asher Sevivoisav. He's going backwards. This is, it's really what the Mitzvah said, to the same thing, but this is the nature of the darkness that surrounds him. V'shemar, toimar, lefnim, en HaChoshech Einar. Maybe you will suggest that in Hashem's abode there is no light. No, that's why it says, Minoiga Neitam, Loima, Minoiga Negdoi. And within his abode, as avav asher sevivaisav bokim ve'oivrim barad, from the inside comes forth the barad, the hail, the gachale yesh avru. What does that mean? That word over there, avru.
It means trei past.
What? Past. Okay. Asher avru. Habarad bokeya ve'oiver al hamitzriim al yam suf. Rashi is going to Lashit HaSai. He also learns these psukim reference to our enemies, but he learns the timeline of these psukim is Yitzias Mishraim. Let's go on to the next couple of psukim. Every single element over here referring to a specific element in Yitzias Mishraim, and here he's telling us that, where does he say this? How does he know this? Doesn't say this in the Torah. All it says in the Torah, it was Makas Borod. Makas Borod was a one-time deal in the Torah. When it came to Yitzias Mishraim, there was Makas Bechorus. Pirates said, leave, we left, we went to the Yam shook them up and they died in the Yam. Where does it say, anywhere in the Chumash, that at Kriyas Yamsuf, there was Borod that descended upon the Egyptians? Do you have any record of this? Do we have any record of this? No, not at least according to simple interpretation of Pasuk. What? So Rashi over here is telling us, so how does David know this? He's telling us over here, Haborod Boikea Voiver al Hamitzriim al Yam Suf. This is a shocking statement. What is Rashi saying here? Rashi, Tehillim, we're going to see this, Mirat Hashem, go to Tehillim, there are a lot of references, according to Rashi, according to Chazal, in Tehillim, about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And it almost seems like we're talking about a different story. And we mentioned this yesterday, one of the main wonders is that when David, in Tehillim, enumerates the 10 Makos, he has a different order. Right. We said this yesterday. He has a whole different order. Where did he get this order from? What's going on? So that's just one example. And we mentioned yesterday, that's why we say by the Seder, Rabbi Yehuda, why do we need to tell us that? He's telling you, when you teach your children at the Seder about the Makos, don't be influenced by David. Don't teach them the Seder of the Makos according to the way David HaMelech enumerated them. Because David's not for the Seder. The Seder, you follow what it says in Parshas of Vo'era and Bo. Don't get confused with the facts. Don't go to Sefer Tehillim. Because in Tehillim, David has a whole different story. And where did David get all these things from? What exactly is David's agenda in Sefer Tehillim to describe the story of the Exodus in these bizarre ways? And here's another example that requires explanation, which I have no idea. David is saying over here, something we never heard before, that in the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, what did Hashem do? He sent down Barot. There was Barot which came down, Habarot by Ked broke forth, the Oiver al Hamitzriim al Yamsuf. What are you talking about? That happened again at Kriyas Yamsuf. Hamulaku al Hayam, 50, all the numbers. That part, Haggadah, was always very bizarre to me.
But they also, the Gemara and Sota has a problem with is also, since it said Moshe's Mata, it said the Mata also, what's the problem? Why Rabbi Yehuda said, it says he divided up into three sections.
Different sections
air,
of
land, and sea.
There are many perushim. One of the perushim is that the reason why he gave us the Seder, that Sachadash Be'achav is like Moshe, do not go the order of Tehillim. Here is another interesting thing that we have no basic record of in the Torah. It was borrowed at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, now let's take note and just highlight this other major difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos. Whereas the Mitzudos types those very difficult words, it seems one of the centerpiece of this page, 146, are the words Minogan Negdo. Those words stick out like a sore thumb. Everything over here is describing shock and awe. It's shock and awe, Chorban. All the weapons of the Pentagon are being deployed against the enemy. You got whatever you got, including the kitchen sink. Take it out and fight. And the only thing that doesn't really seem to fit into the arsenal are the words Minogan Negdo. So we said, in the Mitzvah of it says, you know why there's a war? Why are you invading? What's the purpose of all this? You know why? Minogan Negdo. Because Hashem wants to bestow His light upon the Jewish people and you guys are in the way. Right, that's the Mitzvah. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that when you look at this arsenal that we're presenting here, a person may be misled to believe that by Hashem there's nothing good. Hashem is just a machine of war. And there's a lot of you take a course, and not the courses, philosophy of religions. There are some really strange religions out there in world history. Okay, strange religions. These ideas people have about God are unbelievable. How corrupt their minds are. They have crazy ideas. So over here, David, according to Rashi, is coming to reject a form, a religion, that believes that Hashem is, you know, you can't even say these words, but everything about God is dark. God is a dark being. One of the examples, the classic in Philosophy 101, is evil genius. Everything is dark. There's nothing, there's no light. It's just a war machine. David says, don't make that mistake. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is showing incredible power of Korban, of destruction, don't make a mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only darkness. Just the opposite. The Pinimius, the center, Minoiga Negdo, again the Rashi in the beginning is Cheshkas Mano Shaav Vishwaki Mahima Khoshka Shasilosa Vishema Toima. Maybe you're gonna say that Lifnim and Achoshek Ain are. This is coming to reject a course in philosophy. Maybe you'll say there's nothing good. Talmud Loima. Don't be an apikoris. Don't be from those apikorsim. David says, Minoga Negdoi. There is a brilliance that's within. Umitoich Michitzasai, and it's within is Michitzasai. I don't really know how you want to go further. There's a comma over here. Es avav asher svivaisav boikin v'oivin barar. I think he wants to separate that. Asher negdoi umitoich Michitzasai comma. Don't make a mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only darkness and there is no light. Okay. This ends our discussion of the Pshat. It's late. I just want to do one Maimer Chazal, and then tomorrow we're going to go weiter. And that is possibly, this is a very famous Chazal. And let's just discuss it for a few moments. Where does rain come from? Where does rain come from? Mark, where does it come from?
The ocean.
No, the faucet, no?
Rain.
It's all the same, no?
No.
Where does it come? How does the rain get into the clouds?
It evaporates.
So you evaporate. There's a water cycle. Right. Take a course in college.
Yeah, that's science.
The water science.
God separated the water.
We believe the science.
No, what? I am science. Believe me. Where has he been the last few weeks? He's disappeared. Where?
Collecting the money.
Where does rain come from? So there is something called the water cycle. In other words, it's an incredible principle. It's an incredible principle. According to science, the water goes nowhere. There is a finite amount. When Hashem made this world, Hashem made a finite amount of water. How much? I can't even count how many trillions of gallons there probably are in this entire world. Two-thirds of this world is water. Two-thirds is water. And every drop of water doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
It's just recycled. It's recycled. The sun shines, it goes up into the clouds. The clouds have some protective layer, which prevents, basically, what is it? The clouds, the sun is, how many miles away is the sun? The sun is very far away. It causes the water to rise. So what would you would think? Let's talk like kindergarten minds now, okay? Let's put away all the science. Just think like if this principle. If the sun has the koyach to cause the water to evaporate and rise, so you would think it should take the water and it should go all the way to the sun. I'm talking like a kindergarten now, okay? Now don't confuse me with science now. The water should go higher, higher. If it's rising, right? Isn't it rising? You see the ein yala min haaretz, the mist. So go all the way into outer space and disappear into the sun. Hashem created this world, it's an incredible thing, with basically a shield, which allows a one-way shield. It allows the light to go in, to pull the water up, but does not allow even one teeny mashuhu to escape. It is shelter. Let's say you go to the space shuttle, you go above there, you take any water, are you stealing some water from this world? It doesn't go up, it doesn't let it escape. Isn't it amazing? It doesn't let it escape. And it turns into clouds, and the clouds, they move around, they relocate. It relocates the water, it cleanses the water, this and that, all the science, and then it just comes back down again. And then the cycle repeats itself forever. It's an amazing thing. So the amount of water is finite, and whatever was there, was there. Whatever is this world is here, and it ain't going nowhere. It's just going up. There's a shield that prevents it from going up past a certain point in the atmosphere. And then somehow it just moves around up there in Shemayim, moves to other countries, other parts of the world, and some way, somewhere, the time comes, it comes back down. And then it goes back up again. A constant cycle through this incredible filter where the sun can get in to do its magic, but it cannot, and it goes up, but it cannot leave this world. That's called the water cycle. Okay, now, that is the introduction to this Maimer Chazal. Let's run it very quickly over here. There's a lot of incredible chachma in this Chazal. Chazal obviously knew all the science, and they knew a lot more than we know today. And they write over the Pasuk Yud Beis, Yoshes Choshech Sishon Ambar, Likud Ishas. page 146 in the bottom. The only chazal we can do on this thing here. Yash is choshech sisra v'sevach yisuka. Soy cheshchas maim ove shakim. Rabbi Elazar, I'm a call olam kulo mimei okyanus hu shayseh. There's a finite amount of water in this world. All the water, the rain that we have today, it is coming from the ocean. The okyanus, what is the okyanus? Is it the Mediterranean? Or does it mean the Atlantic? The Atlantic. Okay, the big machlokes, the Yam HaGadol. You make a bracha. So you just make a bracha when you see the ocean. Which ocean? You make a bracha when you see the Atlantic, or you make a bracha when you see the Mediterranean? Oh, not for now. But it says over here, the okyanus, whatever the ocean, whatever this means. Who shall say? Shenemar. It says in the Torah. What more do you want? The aid yalam in aretz. The hishkes kol pnei adama. So it says, where does rain come from? Yalam in aretz. It's coming from the earth. Omar loy Rabbi Yehoshua. This is the famous Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua. They always argue about science. These are the scientists of Chazal. Always arguing about science. When was the world created? In Nisan or in Tishrei? The big scientists. The scientists, these are the scientists of Chazal. Amar loy Rabbi Yehoshua, v'haloy meimei okyanus meluchin hein. Can't be. If it's really true, like you say, that all the rain comes from the ocean and it goes into the cloud and comes back down into your faucet, then it should be salty. There should be salt content in your water, and it's not water. H2O. There's nothing there, but just pure water. It's not salty. Where did the salt go? It must then be that you're wrong. Mayim does not come from the ocean, because where's the salt?
Well, the water.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, so Rabbi Eliezer, the scientist said, Rabbi Eliezer, Dr. Eliezer said, the scientist said, no. Mimatkin be'ovin. Don't you know that we have very sophisticated clouds? They filter the salt. So where's the salt, by the way? So where did the salt go? If the clouds filter the salt content of the water, where is the salt?
It goes through the distillery.
Where am the salt? Okay, so amaloi mimatkin be'ovin. It's sweetened. It is sweetened in the clouds. This is a very interesting thing over here, Chazal say. This thing, there are a lot of, these types of Kamayim Chazal, there are a lot of golden nuggets. Over here it's saying the word sweet. With salt and sugar, would you call salt and sugar opposites? Would you? No. Salt is salt, sugar is sugar. What one thing has nothing to do with the other. You would say, in fact, bitterness, something that's bitter is the opposite of sugar, of sweetness. Not salt. When I was a kid, they taught us cats and dogs. They fill out opposite to test your cognitive abilities. Multiple choice. What is the opposite of a cat?
Is that they don't get along.
A dog. What? Whoever said a cat and a dog are opposites? They still teach the children. They test their cognitive abilities. Tell me the opposite of a cat. A dog. A dog is the opposite? What? What does that mean? It's ridiculous. The dog's not the opposite. They don't get along. It's not even true. Many cats and dogs do get along. Okay, so there. Salt and sugar. Salt and sugar have nothing in common. The salt and the sugar. What is one thing have to do with the other? Over here, Chazal over here are putting the two together. And that itself requires Hezber. There's salt. The salt is sweetened. As if it seems to say that salt is bitter? Does that seem to imply the Chazal are of the opinion that when it says that salt is bitter, mar, morar, means something that's salt? Is that what the Chazal over here are coming
from? Can it just be salty? Not bitter.
Because Chazal say it sweetens it.
Well,
sweetening.
Salt brings out the sweet in cooking. Salt brings out sweetness in certain foods.
100%.
Okay,
so you have to go. This, the words of Chazal are sacred. If Chazal here say make this statement, there's a lot over here to understand. We, the average person today, would not. If you would write this, you would not. You would say this: the ocean is salty. And the water, the eight yalam in aretz, you would say that the clouds filter. It filters the salt content. You would not say the clouds sweeten the water. That's not the way you would talk in English. So why Chazal saying these words? Obviously, there's a lot of depth in how they understood the nature of salt. If you were to say the waters are bitter, if you would say, let's say you would argue, if you take water from the ocean and you drink it, it's bitter. Oh, but when it goes into the clouds, the Eyal Menorah, the clouds sweeten the water.
Well,
okay.
The salt doesn't rise in the evaporation.
It doesn't say that. You see, this is where we get into science. You see, this is science. This is why Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are the scientists of Chazal. No, this is science.
No, it isn't.
Mr. Marillis is saying...
observation of nature, but it certainly isn't science.
Okay. Mr. Mills is saying a very powerful principle is that when the A yalam in Aretz, the A does not have the koyach to pull off the salt content. It only has the koyach to pull up the moisture, the H2O. It does not have the ability to pull with it any salt into the cloud. Is that really true? Go to a laboratory and
steam. That's it. Steam doesn't have the salt.
I don't know. Let's see.
In humidity, there's no salt in the humidity.
What?
Well, that's the question. All right, let's see. Let's read the Chazal Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. He says, let me tell you where rain comes from. And Yeshua says, the amount of liquid in this world is not finite. It's not. In fact, the rain comes from Shemayim. And what does this mean? Kol ha'olam kuloi mimayim hu'el diyoinim hu shoyse. Maisei b'reish v'yavil l'kim. Bein ha'mayim ha'shem itachas l'rakia bein ha'mayim ha'shem ya'al l'rakia. Whenever it rains, you know what's really happening? Hashem is taking water that's in another world, in heaven, and he's opening up the faucet and in Shemayim. And the Mayim El Yoinim is coming to this world via the Mayim El Yoinim. The rain that we receive is not rain that has been recycled part of the water cycle.
So it's being destroyed as it's getting...
The Eid Yalim and
Aretz... I
don't know, let's see what he says. You have to be Medayim. Is Rabbi Yeshua saying something that is a metaphor for Ruchnius? Or is Rabbi Yeshua saying a scientific principle which we have to... understand what he means to say in the world of science. Not for now, but let's read what's over here. Rabbi Yeshua Meir Kol Olam Kulo Mimayim Hol Yoinim Hushoyse. Shenemar. It says, Limitar HaShamayim is a pasuk. Limitar HaShamayim Tishter Moyim. According to the rain of heaven. It doesn't say that the rain is coming from the Oretz. It's coming from Shamayim. Will the earth drink? Elo Mo Ani Mekayim. How do you reconcile the pasuk Ve'ed Yalem in Oretz? Which is mashal that it comes from the ground, milamed. All that means is that you need a cloud to be the medium for the water of Shemayim to come down. You need there to be an aid, yalam in aretz, to create a vehicle to allow the water in Shemayim to channel to this world. But don't be deceived and think that the water that comes out of the cloud is just redistributing the water on this world. Melamed sheho anonim misgabrim, the clouds prevail, v'oilim lorakia, upoischem pihem kinoid, and the clouds open up their mouths like a jug, a container, umekablim, and they receive the mei motor min hamayim hol yoimim, shenemar, paskin yov yazoiku motor le'edo, Hashem, he throws rain le'edo, I don't even know what that means, and these clouds have holes, they're like a sieve. They pour out, that's why we're learning this Maimon Chazal in reference to this pasuk. This is powerful words. Cheshkas Mayim Ovei Shechokim. Now here is the Cheshkas Mayim Ovei Shechokim. Cheshras Mayim, which means, we learned until now, means darkness. It means darkness. Now, here's the problem. Now, this is the point that we're going to make over here. What does it say in our pasuk? Cheshkas, with a chaf. What is the Gemara quoting? He's quoting the pasuk in Shiras David.
Right.
In Shiras David, it's written with a resh. A resh. And when there's a resh, it doesn't mean darkness. Cheshras mayim, which means pouring. Cheshras with the resh means, it means to pour. It means also cheresh, a deaf mute. It means noise. noise of pouring out of water. Now this goes back to a story that we learned a while ago. It's very, very liberal, and I'll tell you very quickly. And that is every liquid. This is a very poignant story. It fits very much well with what it says over here and this over here. Every liquid, when you pour it, it makes noise. You take coffee and you pour it, go to Niagara Falls. They wear Niagara Falls, they wear air protection. Why do they wear air protection? Because when water is being poured, it makes noise.
It's the liquid banging against the other liquid.
Every liquid in this world produces, you can measure it on a
on an
instrument to lose. Which oil makes the least noise?
Oil.
And that's why Rashbi was very much associated with oil. Bar Yochanan, also when you anoint the melech, Shemen HaMishcha. Why is this thing called oil? Why was Aaron anointed? He was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. Vayidoim Aaron. Aaron, when his children died, Aaron had the koich of demama, of silence. Lecha dumia sihila. Silence is praise. Okay, what does that mean exactly? That's another topic which I don't even know. But there is a very big principle of noise that accompanies the pouring of liquid. Every liquid has its sound. Yayin has its level of sound. Kol Hashem b'moyim, Kol Hashem b'mayim ravim. You always find in Chazal and in Tehillim when describing Hashem the loud sounds. And you talk about loud sounds, you talk about water, because it's a thunderous sound.
It's a waterfall.
A waterfall. Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls. You see all the pictures. They wear ear protection because it's very noisy. Oil. Quiet. No noise. Kol d'mamadak. Aaron HaKoyim, he was anointed, the Shemen HaMishcha, the Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash, quiet. By Yidoim Aaron's midah was silence. By Yidoim Aaron, after the tragedy of the loss of his two children, he was quiet, the mama. So here, Cheshras means it's deafening. It's, well, it's like a euphemism.
Here,
Cheshras, Cheresh. Yeah.
Say
chashras mayim.
Yeah.
It means the
great abundant water. He translates.
So why is it called abundant water? The more water you have, the louder the noise. It's that the word cheresh means someone who's deaf. But as we always learn in the Shia, every word can mean always goes 180 degrees. So a cheresh means deaf, and chash rash or a cheresh means
change. Hashras is Shin Resh. Chay Resh is Resh Chav.
Chay Resh.
Not the same.
It's not the same word.
Yeah.
An abundance. That doesn't stop me. You're gonna have me on letters? I'll prove to you it's one of those words. No, I'm not even joking this time. This time I'm not joking because it's one of those words. It's this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, this in Keves. Or in Keseth.
Right.
It's the same thing. There is Simla and there is Salma. Cheshras, Cheresh, and these words with the letters interchanged are the same word. It means a deaf mute, deaf, but the way it's vowelized, and it means it goes from Yikotze el Akotze. Deaf means there's no sound. And when you take the word and you just change the letters, you change the vowels, it means it is deafening, deafening. Where is it deafening? When you have an abundance of water, it's deafening. So here we have two psukim. In Sefer Shmuel, it says chesh ras mayim, in abundance. It's so abundant that when you pour water, the nature of water when it's poured is deafening. Think Niagara Falls. When there's so much water falling, it's deafening. You need to wear ear protection. Here in Sefer Tilim it says cheshkas. Now we're running out of time, but now what happens if you, now here's it, this is an incredible chiddush. This is the word, the whole thing just for this. And this is the Medrash. The Medrash goes on to say, the Gemara goes on to say, we have two sephardim, Sefer Tilim, Sefer Shmuel. We've already spoken about this already a few times in these last few days. of why did David, why is it written twice? Why so many different ideas? This is a new concept. They're meant to be combined. When you learn what David said about his private life, it has one meaning. When you learn what he composed for Klal Yisrael, it has a different meaning. But there's a third dimension. There's a third dimension where the sum is greater than the parts. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And that's where you combine the two together. What would happen if you take these two words, combine it together? Chesh Ras and Chesh Kas. Then it will become Chesh Ko Ras. Chesh Ko Ras. Put the two words together, then let them overlap. What happens when you overlap these two words together? Then you have to do another rule, fancy footwork over here. And the word ches very often is interpreted as a hey, as a letter hey, because the only difference between a ches and a hey is a teeny little opening, even though we write as two zayins.
Well,
put
the Gemara's actions, like the, you know, you have hilulim, chilulim, that the Gemara above Metzia.
The hey and the ches, that means hach shoras, kosher. Hach im kosher be'enei hamelech. Hach shoras. Hach shoras mai. What is hach shoras? It means the preparation, the purification of water, the purification. Like which opinion? Like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says the water rises from the ground, from the ocean, and it, there's salt content, and in the clouds it is purified. It's this a kashrus, a hach shoras mayim. Takes place in the clouds. Let's just read over here. The more we have, I told you.
I
just want to
say something. That oil always separates itself from water.
Right. They don't mix.
I know, but
they
I'm
don't mix. Why don't they mix? Why? Because they don't mix. So it's very interesting. There are two extremes. Water makes the loudest sound when it's poured, and oil from all the liquids, oil when it's poured makes the least sound. So that they're completely separate. By the way, when is there a piece? How can you make peace? Think about this. How do you make peace between fire and water? What is the peacemaker? Who is the peacemaker? Fire and water cannot coexist. Fire and water, right? Fire and water. So how do you make peace? Pot. The pot, you put a piece of metal in between fire and water. This shalom. They combine, they merge, the water becomes hot.
Well, if you pour oil on the water, it'll
burn.
If you pour oil, whatever.
If you pour oil on top of the water, it's a big oil leak.
Oil
and
water can combine.
It looks like the water's on fire when it starts.
Fire doesn't combine oil and water.
No, but the oil makes
oil
it look like it's
oil and water,
water
are mutually exclusive.
Water, same as a pot.
There's no peace. You can't mix the oil and
no,
water together.
You can't.
Fire and water, can you mix together?
No.
No. How can you make peace between them? A pot. A metal pot. A metal pot allows the water, the heat, to penetrate the water and to become hot. When you have a pot, what do you have at the end of the day? You have hot water. What is hot water? Hot water has the elements of fire and water. They've made peace with each other via a pot. So how do you make peace between water and oil? You take the water and oil, they don't agree. The oil goes to the top, the water's in the bottom. There's no peace between them. How do you make peace? You add flour. If you have flour will absorb the oil and it will absorb the water. And you can make a batter. And the batter has an equal distribution of water and oil. Flour, lechem, is the peacemaker between mayim and shem. And mincha, what is a mincha? Mincha, you make a gift. You make peace with Hashem. You make peace with Hashem. I want to make peace with you. What is a carbon? A carbon, this is parasha. Drush, this carbon, you win. You win Hashem. Every carbon has two parts, an animal and a mincha. What is a carbon? Hashem, you win, I lose. I'm dead. You prevailed. You nuked me. Here's the animal. I'm giving up the life of the animal. The animal's life is my life. Slaughter. You win, I lose. What is the mincha? Let's make peace.
Also like the
let's make peace.
Yeah.
There's oil and there's water. They don't get together. When I'll put in some flour, some lechem, peace and coexist. Peace. Every mincha is belulay spashamen. Every mincha, every single mincha has a loik shemen. Belulay spashamen. Except for the soita. Because the soita, there's no peace. The soita is unexcusable. Okay, so now going back, let's return very quickly. Okay, let's. Shenemar chashras mayim aveshkogim amamar. Amamar. So it says here in the pasuk that it's poured in the abundance of water. Now the Gemara goes further. Amamar. Mematkin hein be'ovim. How do you know this, Rabbi Eliezer? That it got sweet in the clouds. Minole. Yom Rabbi Yitzchak, Bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Ksiv, it says cheshkas mayim aveshkogim. Uksiv cheshras mayim aveshkogim. It says there's dark water. Chashras. There's dark water. Here it says, not pasik cheshkas, dark water. And here it says, an abundance of water. Chashras mayim of eshchakim. So what do you do? Shekoil, take the chof, ushedei, bring it to Aresh. Ukuribe chak shoras, which we're then going to make the ches into the hay. Kimoy hach shoras. Shehach shoras. Hamayim heim bavim. Rabbi Yeshua b'hani kura my darish b'hu. Rabbi Yeshua that says no such thing. That it comes from Saul. Ki had. Ki also Rabbi Dimi Amar Dimi Amar Amar Bar Rava. Nuhur anone. There are clouds that are illuminated clouds. There are light clouds. There are dark clouds. And if it's dark, there's a lot of water. If it's light, there's a small amount of water. That's not relevant for us. I'm not going to go to that now. But basically, at least we've taken away over here that this pasuk over here is a beautiful yesod. A beautiful yesod, which is probably practical on other levels, is there are two davar shoyah b'chlau v'yotza b'chlau l'lamed lo y'lalam alatsam yotza ella l'lam el kolakal kuli yotza. This Maimer Chazal illustrates. We have two records of this song in Sefer Shmuel and in Sefer Tehillim. Each one, on many different levels, is teaching you a different approach to singing Shira to Hashem over long battles in life. It's Klal Yisrael for David, but there's a new dimension, and the new dimension is to synthesize the two different Shiras together. And this little Chazal, when it deals with a machlokes, where does rain come from? Does rain come from the water cycle, which is that's the way we understand it, obviously. And then there's something that's very, very deep from Rabbi Yehoshua, which talks about maybe he's referring really to a more of a hashkafa. You have to dive into Hashem. The only way it comes is the Adam Ayin La'avoides Adam. On a very similar level, you'll see that Rabbi Yehoshua is discussing Teva, nature. Rabbi Eliezer is discussing Teva. And Rabbi Yehoshua is saying, yeah, of course, there's a water cycle. But in order to get a delivery of water where you live at the right time and the right place, just exactly the amount of water that you need, you know, you have to dive into Hashem, as it says in the beginning of the Torah. The Odom Ayin La'avoy Deso Adom. If there's not going to be tefillah, then there's not going to be any rain. So Rabbi Yehoshua is maybe looking at this water, the Makar from Mayim, from a religious perspective, whereas Rabbi Eliezer is looking at the water from a perspective of Teva, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And in the process of this very fascinating discussion, each one has sources to teach the halacha, and then the question falls on, what do you do with the pasuk? How do you know that in Shemayim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the laws of science, that the clouds, they sweeten the water, which itself is a very interesting concept, which seems to indicate that salt is bitter. Salt is bitter. Vayimor es chayim, avoy v'kasha. Salt, it's too salty. What is that? What do we learn? We learn this principle: combine the two shirois together. Sweetness. It's interesting. Busa Haskell. Sweetness in life comes when you combine things together. When you take the lessons of David that he said about his own life, and you synthesize it with the lessons about Klal Yisrael, you bring the two together. You get from cheshkas. And chashras, you get hachshoras, sweetening. And that's in Sefer Musar. Sweetness in life comes from combining the lessons that you derive from all the different dimensions of your life, when they all come together, that's where you're going to find the sweetness of life. Okay, let's take a very short break. Today is Zayin Adar. Today is the observance of the Petira. Not everyone, but many observe today as the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I would like, and also with everyone, so I want to discuss this
also
a little.
The Yahrzeit of Yitzchak Isaac from Kal, the Kal of Arepa, Yitzchak Isaac and Moshe.
Okay, so we'll discuss Moshe Rabbeinu in relation to Purim today. After we come back, it's very, very late. My fault.
What's it late about?
Because we have to keep to our Seder.
What
our Seder.